Big rocks. This morning we're going to talk about rocks, which will be super fun, and hopefully that makes a little more sense as we go. Before we get into that, I was sitting with my wife at the bakery. We were sitting there. She's on her computer. I'm on my computer, ignoring each other but doing it together. And we had a lot of people be like, "Are you that couple?" We're like, "Yeah, we kind of are that couple today, anyway." But I was thinking through, Brian asked me to preach a while back, and we've been doing a lot of research and a lot of thinking and praying on this area of discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to have that not just be something we talk about, but a core part of who we are? And in that, I came across this illustration that really kind of convicted me in a good way. And so I'm going to share that with you today. But before we get into that, I asked Natalie, I'm like, "What's a intro?" And I was really, and she's like, "I don't know, I'm trying to work." And then I just started messing around on stuff, and this is what I found. So, nope, that's not it. Things, nope, that you could go back to the beginning one and just don't even move yet. Wyatt, so good to see you today. I really like pointing out the people in the back because they're back there because they don't like being pointed out. So that's always fun. Things that people do to get skinny. Confession, I did that in the first service, and then I went like this, and then I really quickly got, I was like, nope, not going to do that. Things that people do to do skinny. So I found these, and I found them really interesting. These are fads that actually happened that obviously didn't work, but they're the craziest fads I could find. The first one is called air fooding. This is where people actually prepare a meal and then pretend to eat it, and then throw it away. I guess that would work, but there's, I don't know. I would still be hungry, personally. I don't think. So the other one, bee pollen is a really popular thing. Like bee pollen, people use, popular, tried. Here's the catch with that is a lot of people are allergic to bee pollen, so they would eat it to lose weight, but then have a reaction to it and gain weight. So the color blue is apparently an appetite suppressant. I wear blue a lot, and I still am hungry a lot, so I don't know if that works. There's a baby food diet, which speaks for itself and sounds disgusting, but has anybody ever, like, youth group, we used to make people eat baby? Yeah, Terrence, it doesn't surprise me. That's really awesome. Here's one of my favorites. There's a sugar-free gummy bear diet, where you eat sugar-free gummy bears, and apparently in sugar-free gummy bears, there's this thing that, and then helps, like, things happen, and that helps, apparently. So they eat a lot of these and have explosive results. That's what it said, but that is another one. The spoon diet. This one really cracked me up. That apparently somebody, some scientist somewhere said, everything that's healthy can be eaten with a spoon. So just eat things on a spoon. Little did they realize that everything that's unhealthy can also be eaten, like ice cream and everything else. So that's pretty, that one didn't work. Cotton ball diet. People like actually soak things in cotton balls and juice and eat them. Here's the point. The point is not like go try these because they don't work, okay? The point isn't even about losing weight or diets. The point is this. How often in life do we address our problems by trying to fix our behaviors, right? We go, oh, this isn't working. I need to get skinny, so let's do these different things. But here's the issue is our issues in life are centered on what we value, and then our values dictate what we do. So today, we're not going to talk about a behavior modification type of talk. We're not going to talk about a time management thing. Today, what I'd like to do is do an assessment of our values. Does what we value line up with what God values for us? Because no matter how skinny I want to get, if I don't value being healthy, I'm never going to get skinny. Right? If I don't value being a good steward of what God's given me, I'm never going to find peace in my finances. If I don't value what God calls me to value, my life is never going to look like Jesus designed it to. Amen? So we're going to talk about that today. Natalie, was that an okay intro? Yes? Yes. Okay, good. So as we go, feel free to amen and hallelujah, and we're going to talk about big rocks. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Lord, thank you. We don't want this just to be a talk. We don't want to just be here to take up time so that we can go do other things. We want to be here to be transformed, to grow in you. Thanks for laying this on my heart for my life. I pray that it would also be a challenge to everybody that hears it. In your name, amen. All right, so let's start in Matthew chapter 7. There's this great passage, this great story, a parable that I think we've all heard called The Wise and the Foolish Builder. It's really small. Try to follow along if you can. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it fell with a great crash. Here's what I'm challenged with by this. I'm challenged with the fact that both of these men heard. They both heard, right? Both of them heard the word. They heard the gospel. They heard the story. They heard the challenge. They both went. They both went through hard things. The streams, the wind, all of it. It came to both of them, yet one stood and one didn't. The difference is one put them into practice and the other did not put them into practice. Now, you could say that building, they probably both built a pretty decent structure. We sometimes look at our faith, it's not wrong, but it's not at all right. When somebody says, how are you doing with your walk with Christ? I ask this to teenagers all the time, and generally the answer I get back is something along the lines of, well, I haven't sinned very much, so I'm really close to God today. Or, I've been messing up, so my relationship with Jesus isn't very good. That's turning our faith into this behavior modification. Do the right thing, and then God loves you. Do the wrong thing, and he doesn't as much. That's the sand, right? But built on the rock of being so founded in who God is and valuing what he values and knowing that you're valued by him, there's so much more freedom and power in that. And as I read scripture, this is what God is calling us to. It's not just change your behavior and you'll be fine. It's set your foundation on the right rock, right? I want to illustrate this in a way that really challenged me. So watch this video and then we'll chat about it here in a minute.
Thank you.
satisfying videos. Did that kind of go, ooh, that felt good, that didn't it? Here's what I like about this. It makes it really simple. So this morning, let's talk about this. So life is made up of three different things, according to this video. We all have the same amount of time, right? We all have the same amount of life in a day. But how we choose to fill that makes a big difference. The first thing they talked about in that was this idea of sand. Sand was the idea that we have these things in our life that really, they're not good, but they're not bad. They're just things. There's really no consequence to them if you don't do them. There's some enjoyment in them. They don't necessarily bring good into your life, but they don't necessarily bring bad into your life. They just are things. Can you think of things? What are some examples of that? This is classroom participation time. What do you got? I'm genuine. Binge watching TV. Oh, yes. Social media. Uh-huh. Memes, right? To this group over here. To these guys, memes or pictures? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I got glares. That was really mean. Social media, hobbies, all these things that we love, they're not bad, but they don't necessarily bring value into our life. They're just things that we enjoy doing. The problem is, like in that first video, so often we allow these things to take precedent. So often we say, oh, I'll get to this stuff. I just need a minute. I need some time, right? I enjoy doing, this is my thing. And that's okay to have those things until those become the priority. I can think of in our family, I can think of a number of times where I've come home at the end of the day grumpy, kind of just like, ugh, it's been a long day. And instead of going to these things which we'll get to that I value and I need to cherish and that pour life into me and bring value, I need to watch TV. Kids, go away. Go downstairs. I need a minute. Is that wrong? Not necessarily. Unless it becomes too big of a deal. That first video showed filling up that vase with these and then trying to fit these in, and then trying to fit these in, and all of a sudden, the things that you value, there's no space for them. The interesting thing is, I'll get to that in a minute. The second thing that we talked about were these pebbles. Pebbles, it described as things in your life that are important. If you don't do them, there's consequence. But we have to keep these on guard, because if we let them become too big, it throws everything out of whack. Work, money, laundry, right? There's consequences if you don't do laundry, apparently. I don't know. My wife doesn't let me touch the laundry very often. But there's things that we need, these things in our life. These are good things. We just need to put them in the appropriate place. If we put these things in first, it doesn't work. Here's the scary thing is sometimes the values of the world become these things. And if we allow the values of this world to dictate our values, these can become too big. And then the last thing and the most important, which oftentimes get neglected, are the big rocks. The big rocks are the things that we need to value. The big rocks are the things that we hold dearest and most important in our lives. And here's the hard thing. We can tell what we value by what we do. It's one thing to say this is a value, but if your actions don't dictate this is a value, it's not a value. That's where it got me. That was like, oh, ouch, that hurt. Now, I clearly have a rock up here that's bigger than the rest. And I'll just throw this out there. This is your relationship with Christ. This is the first rock. This is the biggest one. This is the hardest one to fit in last. The only place this can fit is first. The only way to get this in the jar is to make it the number one priority. And then in our lives, there's these other rocks that fall into that. If you look at Scripture, in 2 Timothy verse 3, it says, 2 Timothy 3,
says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. I've heard this say that when we say scripture is useful for teaching and rebuking, that directs our thoughts. Teaching is how to think well. Rebuking is how not to think bad, right? So it tells us the good way to think. And then it says correcting and training in righteousness. Correcting is how do we not live wrong, and training in righteousness is how do we live well. So it's saying everything in this book is what we need. So we could read this book and say, okay, that's my how-to. But if we don't value this book, if we don't value the Word of God, if we don't value Scripture, then it's not going to teach us anything. We can read it, but we have to value it. We have to make room for it. Okay? We need Scripture in our lives. We need the body of Christ. We need each other. You need, look around. We need these people. And as a good example of your actions will dictate your priorities, they do polls all the time of Christians and of followers of Christ. And they all will say, yeah, church is important. But then the average believer attends church once a month and has no other engagement with the body of Christ. So you can say this is important, but apparently hobbies are more important. We don't miss sports. Even a football game. People will miss church to watch a football game. Do you see what I mean? Where, yeah, these things, well, that probably is over here, isn't it? Do we allow work to be more important than our connections with each other? Do we allow our calling to dictate what we do throughout the day? Or does this just kind of, if I have time? Does this make sense? I was challenged on this on so many levels. Like, I look at my family, like, I love my family as one of my values. And I came to a point where I'm like, with four kids, it's hard, right? It's hard to spend time with your kids. It's hard to be like, okay, your turn. You're like, I don't have any more turns. So we started, like, with my son Grayson, we started doing this thing where we try to go for night walks. Just a little walk, takes 15 minutes. He loves, the worse the weather, the more he wants to do it, which I don't understand. Takes after his mom, I think. No, I'm just, sorry. I value this. I value you. But what I found is I don't have to go on our walks and be like, okay, Grayson, what are the verses you memorized? And are you reading your Bible? And we don't talk behaviors and stuff. We just talk life. And I get to ask him questions like, you know, if you're struggling with this, here's what Bible kind of says about that. What do you think? And we get to talk. And so I don't have to make it this behavioral thing, but if I value it, my behaviors will make room for it. Does that make sense? But if we allow, here's the challenging thing. Sometimes it's really easy to allow what we value to dictate our view of Scripture. And our view of faith and our view of God. Instead, we need to let Scripture and God dictate what we value. And so my big question is, are your big rocks? You look at your behaviors, and your behaviors will dictate what you value. Do your big rocks line up with what God wants your rocks to line up with? Because just like getting skinny, I'm not going to get skinny if I don't value health. I'm not going to have good finances if I don't value being a good steward. Your life is not going to look like what God wants it to look like until you value what God wants you to value. And that is a challenge. Ephesians chapter 5 says this. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be the wise builder, not the foolish builder. Then you'll understand what God's will is. How do we do that? Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. For our illustration, this is dumping out the jar, saying, God, my priorities need to be yours. I don't want it to be mine anymore. I don't want to try to decide what goes where. It hasn't worked. I'm done with it. So you dump it out and say, God, it's yours. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't let the world tell you that money is more important than church. Don't let the world tell you that your reputation and your power is more important than God's reputation. Don't let the world tell you you need to neglect your family in order to make more money. It says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. All that is saying, God, your values, prioritize it, make it right. You set it up. I'll follow your lead, right? And we do that through this, right thinking and wrong thinking. This will fix it, right? It says, once you do that, then you get to see God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then your jar gets to be filled up in a way that just is smooth. Here's the cool thing. We still have this fits. These fit. But only if this becomes the first and the only, the priorities, right? The values. The fun thing is, like, if I value family, I can watch Netflix with my family, right? And it's meaningful and it's important. I can watch football with my family. It's awesome. If I value fellowship, these can be a tool to make these come to life. If I value my relationship with Christ, my workplace doesn't become just a thing I have to get through. It becomes a calling, a mission field that I get to go to. My family, I see it as my personal calling. Did you know that your family is your only position and your only calling that nobody else will ever take from you? Even as a pastor, somebody else will do this job someday, probably sooner than later. As whatever you're doing in your workplace or whatever, somebody else will do that someday. But nobody else will be that mom, will be that dad, that grandpa, that brother, that sister. That's yours. Man, how powerful is that? The way we love people. God has positioned us here for a reason. So did anybody come to this marriage thing that we did on Friday? There was about 50 of us there. Yeah, there was a few. It's really fun. It was really good. Although I feel old. About 9:30, I was like, Natalie, it's time to go. I'm tired. But it was really good. But there was a verse that they talked about in that last talk that challenged me big time. So this is found in Joshua 24, verse 14 through 15. The Israelites have this up and down relationship. They're following the Lord. They're not. They're hot. They're cold. So Joshua finally gets fed up with it. And in Joshua 24, verse 14 through 15, it says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if it's not one of these, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." Choose for yourself. If you don't want that, figure it out. If you're okay with how life is, go for it, I guess. If you're okay with the brokenness in your families, if you're okay with the temptation and the sin that you struggle with, if you're okay with just going through life the way it is, he says, have at it. "But choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living, but offer your bodies as holy sacrifices, not conforming to the patterns of this world, not getting caught up in all this, not being foolish, but being wise, not putting all the priority here or here, but putting it here." He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One of my favorite verses is really simple. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Why does this work? Because he values us. He values us. Jesus values the relationship with his Father. He values us. They made a way for us through the cross. They made it possible for us to be such a huge, important deal so that we could have purpose, so that we could have hope, so that we don't have to live here and hope these. We love because he first loved. Man, that just makes it for me. That's all I need. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Definitely not saying I have all this figured out at all. One of my values is apologizing to my kids. I do it often. But because he loved us, we can say, holy, I'm offering myself to you 100%. God, help me value what you value. Help me dig into what you want me to dig into. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the things that he wants us to value. Everything else will fall into place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we pray? Before we go this morning, would you take time just to quiet your heart and just to ask that question of God, am I valuing what you want me to value? Are my big rocks what they're supposed to be? Are they in place? Oh, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the challenge that Scripture brings, Lord, that we need to put you first. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this room that is going, yeah, my number one rock is not there. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to take steps of faith. Help us, Lord. Give us the faith to believe, to put you in the center, Lord, to put you first. God, help us to see our lives the way you see them. Help us to value our lives and what we do and where we are the way you see it. God, I pray this wouldn't just be a moment that we can think and say that's neat, but it would be the beginning step towards offering ourselves for you, not conforming to the patterns of this world, but saying, as for me and my house today, we will serve the Lord. And when we mess up, we're going to come back and keep serving and keep pushing and keep digging into what you have for us. So Lord, we thank you. Go with us. Again, we thank you for the graduates and we thank you for their families. We pray a blessing on them this day. You're good. We love you. Praise your name. Amen.